You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
Today's movie that we are digging in here to today, I'm excited to bring it out here. Surprisingly, only brought $33 million in at the box office. And for those of you, only 33, but I mean, if you consider what movies make today, that's really a drop in the bucket. And it came out in 1993 for only $33 million, but what's ironic is it's considered such a classic, and it's a movie called The Sandlot. Does anybody remember The Sandlot today? Man, I absolutely love this movie, all it's about. Here, take a look at this clip of The Sandlot.
I'd followed them to the sandlot once after school. I'd never seen any place like it. It was like their own little baseball kingdom or something. It was the greatest place I'd ever seen anyway. But they were good, real good. And all I had was a plastic toy mitt that my grandmother gave me for my birthday when I was six. But when I finally got up enough guts to go out there and try and make friends, there was only eight of them, so they didn't have a whole team. So even though I didn't know how to play, I figured I could be the ninth man and maybe just stand in the outfield somewhere and take up space.
Squids!
Of course, if I'd have known what was going to happen when I got there,
I
probably never would have gone.
Nice catch!
Yeah.
Come on, Betty, hit her harder! Come on!
Yeah, better, better, better!
Whoa!
Get it. Don't be a goofus. Don't be a goofus. Don't be a goofus.
We are waiting!
Yeah, come on, man.
My life's over. Man, I love that movie. It's a must-see if you haven't seen it. The movie, as you saw, stars Scotty Smalls. You're killing me, Smalls. How many know what I'm talking about? Played by Thomas Geary, who moves into a new town and creates really what can only be called an adventurous relationship with a group of friends who love to play baseball. But at the start of the movie, as you kind of saw in the clip, as we quickly see the insecurity of Scotty Smalls, as he doesn't seem to believe in the abilities he has to play with these guys. His skills were, again, as you saw in the clip, something to be laughed at, especially if you compare him to the skills of the other guys on the team, primarily the ones being Benny the Jet Rodriguez, the group's leader. And anyhow, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Benny the Jet was the only one not laughing at Smalls in that clip when he missed that catch and when he threw that ball. Because as we learned in the movie, the Jet, right, as we call him, believes that we all have gifts, that we just need to have confidence in ourselves to bring those gifts to the surface. And before you know it, you'll be at levels where you can compete with the best of them. It really is a truly great movie with a truly great message. And if I could put a title to today's message today to you, if I could kind of form a title and just throw it out in a few words, it would be this: You Are Awesome. How many like that title right now? Amen. Psalm chapter 47 and verse 1. Let me just dig in to what I mean when I say that. Verse 1 says this: Clap your hands, all you nations. Go on. Let's do that right now. Come on. Let's just go on a base scripture, right? Then the author says, shout to God with cries of joy. Come on, let's do that right now. Woo-hoo! Right? And why is the author telling us to do this? He says this. Here's why. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He's the great king over all the earth. How many believe that right there? That the Lord Most High is awesome. Let me go more detailed in the point I'm trying to make here. How many believe specifically what verse 2 says when it says, God is awesome? Show of hands, right? Of course, it's not hard to believe God is awesome, right? Not at all. Doesn't mean life is awesome, because life many times is not awesome. It ends up dealing you situations and pain and circumstance that you can't put description to. But God, through it all, is awesome. Verse 2 is probably one of the easiest verses to place your belief behind, in that God, the one who stands at the origin of all time, space, and matter, the one who sits at the origin of life as we know it to be, is awesome. God is awesome. And because God is awesome, the title of my message today is true, in that you are awesome. And the reason I say that, and I can say that, is because of what is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, when it says that God, at the forefront of creation, said, let us, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make mankind in our image and in our, let's all say this next word together, likeness, right? And verse 27 says that he did that. So God created mankind in his image. In the image and likeness of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So if the God who is awesome created us in the image and likeness of himself, what does that make you? Somebody say, awesome, right? You see, we don't have a hard time believing Psalm 47:2. But I believe when it comes to Genesis 1:26, many of us don't feel the same way. We don't feel that we too are awesome for a variety of different reasons. Maybe it's because of the failures sitting in your past, or maybe it's because of the ones in your present. Maybe it's because you have allowed society and culture to blind your view of your individual beauty, because you maybe compare yourself to what our corrupted culture calls beautiful. Maybe it's because you don't feel you have enough money. Maybe it's you don't feel you have enough status at work, where you might not be where you thought you would be by now in life or in your job. There are a variety of reasons that perhaps you may have a hard time believing that you are awesome when God says that you are and God created you to be. Hear me, so often, let me go Scotty Smalls here, your insecurities will hijack your belief in your God-given scriptural identity. You see, if there's one thing as a pastor that I hate more than anything, and I had to think hard on this before I actually said it, but I believe it. If there's one thing as a pastor I hate more than anything, it's insecurity. I hate insecurity. Can I just make a statement here today? Insecurity stinks. And confidence smells really good. Has anybody ever been around somebody who stinks before? No, don't look around. I'm not talking right now in this moment. Right? My wife can be the first to raise her hand, I'm sure of it. Amen. But, I mean, anybody, and I'm talking more than just somebody breaking one off. You understand? I'm talking like their person, like in the moment. You're just like, right? Kind of smells. Here's what I mean, like, insecurity stinks. And I just want you, just for a second, think of what an insecure person is like. And then I want you to think of what a confident person is like. Matter of fact, I want to turn this TV into a whiteboard right here. So like a digital whiteboard. And I want to write insecurity right here at the top left. And then we'll write confidence right over here at the top right. Insecure and confident. And let me ask you just a question. We've got our incredible creative arts youth pastor, Jake, and his amazing handwriting that you are seeing right now form on this screen. And then we'll write confidence right over here. So don't encourage him right now. Amen. Actually, that would make him insecure. All right, so that would be good. We do want to encourage him. But let me just ask you a question. Like, when you think of an insecure person, I kind of typed down some things as well. What is it that you think of? Like, what are some things about an insecure person that kind of come to the mind? Just say them out loud. Fearful. Fearful. What else? Jealousy. An insecure person, often you see do gripped with fear. Somebody that's gripped with jealousy a lot. Anybody else? Controlling. Ooh, my goodness. Going deep into that one. That's true. Wow. Anybody else? Closed off. Wow. That's a good one. Anybody else? Judgmental. Wow. You know, I often think like when how many know hurt people? Like when I'm miserable, I want to make everybody else miserable. I often see that people with insecurity want to drag down the confidence levels of anybody else. What's a couple more? What's that? Depression. Wow, insecure people often experience times of depression for sure. Anybody got one more? What's one more? Anger. Anger. Yeah, all right. I think we are done right here. We don't have enough time. What about confident people? Really, you could kind of go to the opposite end of the spectrum, right, in confident people. Because you got fearful, you probably got bold. Confident people are more bold. What are some other things? When you think of a confident person, what do you think of? Cocky? Well, I don't know if cocky. I would say there's a difference between confidence and cocky, right? What are some things when you think of a confident person? Strong, right? Wow, you could. Can you throw weak in the insecure category right there down at the bottom? Because I like that strong one right there. There you go. What's another one? Open-minded. That's a good one right there. Confident people are open-minded. Wow. What about truthful? I often think confident people live in the truth. Let's see. Closed off, I would say open, right? That was that open-minded you said. Judgmental. Confident people are more accepting. Probably confident people are more forgiving. Miserable, I would say confident people are probably what? Happy, right? That's good. What's one more? Give me one more confident. Loving. What was that one? Peaceful. Ooh, these are some good ones right here. Listen, let me ask you a question. What does insecurity smell like? This right here. Think about this right here. This is what insecurity smells like. This is why I say insecurity stinks and confidence smells really, really good. The reason I asked you if you've ever been around somebody who stinks before is because I think it's important that we understand like the smell that radiates out from insecurity. I remember my first trip to New York City was in 2008. It was the first time I'd ever been able to go to the Big Apple, and I got to go on a subway. I told this story before here at Journey Church, but it really fits in the context of what I'm trying to teach here today. One of the first times I ever got on a subway, I was super excited because it was one of those things in a New York City subway, especially around the time where it's busy. Like, you got it. People are rushing to the seats like you see in Tokyo on those videos. Like, they are trying to go and get to a seat really, really quick. And I remember when I walked in, I'm like ready to jump in the game. And as soon as the doors open, I saw all these open seats to the right of the car, and all the seats to the left were extremely packed. And I was like, wow, sweet. So I went and sat right here. This isn't the actual image, but I'm just trying to give you a visual here. And I noticed that everybody in the car that was coming in did not sit over here. They actually went and packed in even further over here where there's sardines. And for a minute, I'm like, why the heck is everybody sits over here? Nobody's over here. And then I kind of smelled why. Because I looked, and there was a homeless gentleman that was kind of put, you couldn't see a face or anything, he was put under a blanket,
And this is not a slam on the homeless at all. You know, we've got a big compassion for anybody in need. But what really rocked me was the odor that was coming from that moment. It was probably something that was so unbearable that you're talking people in a New York City subway that do this all the time, that are in these experiences all the time, could not. I mean, it was literally one of the most powerful odors I'd ever smelled before in my life. It was really hard to do that, but I'm sitting there and everybody's looking at me like, let's see if he can handle this. And I'm like, I'm gonna try, right? But I did. I stayed there the whole time, and I just under that moment, I kind of got a spiritual revelation that I was thinking, wow, like this gentleman probably didn't just arrive at this state overnight. This was probably over the course of a lot of time. And he probably has no idea what it is that he smells like in that moment, that literally, because of the odor from him, it is repelling people away from him. And it really, really hit me that this man arrived at a point where he didn't even know what he smelled like. And I believe that there are many people, many believers who, through their insecurities, smell and don't even know it. That you have allowed your insecurities over time to build at places where you smell and nobody knows it. Can we go back to that digital whiteboard? Let me just ask you just a quick question. Who wants to be around this type of person? Nobody. Nobody wants to be around fear, jealousy, depression, controlling, somebody that's closed off, judgmental, miserable, right? Or don't have the strength to be able to be any kind of blessing to your life. Nobody wants to be around somebody like that. It's a wonder why some people wonder why they're alone all the time. Why nobody wants to hang out with them. It's a wonder why they wonder that. How many know I'm not saying this to hurt feelings? I'm saying this to help feelings. Let me just say this. It's because you stink. I'm being real. It's because insecurity smells. But confidence smells really good. How many like the fresh smell of a shampoo or your favorite soap, deodorant, body spray, cologne, perfume, or lotion, right? How many like, Missy has this lotion that, whew, all right, I got to stay pure and on track here, but it just smells good. Come on, somebody. Insecurity stinks and confidence smells really good. And listen, these necessarily are not things that are outside of your control if you're an insecure person. It's not like that you were made to be like this. You have a choice on whether or not you will be like this. This right here is a choice. Regardless of the hand that you've been dealt in life, this is a choice for your life. It makes me think of the difference between David and Saul. I don't know if you got those the comparisons between David and Saul, but it makes me think of the comparisons between Saul and David, because you've got Saul over here, right, in the Old Testament, who was a very insecure leader, a very insecure person. Saul, I mean, you see his insecurities coming out, and all of the realms that you guys were even mentioning here really fit the personality of Saul. But hear me, Saul, I mean, because this was a guy who just was jealous. He was a guy who led from the back when it came into battle. It was like, you guys go first. Like, it was just insane. But then you got David on the other side of the aisle. Like when he led, he was confident as all get out. He led from the front. Like, it was just one of the, you see, two polar opposite personalities. But when you look at the hands that they were dealt in their life, there should be no reason that they should be one or the other, really. If you think about it, Saul had every reason given to him to be confident. The Bible specifically mentions that Saul was a handsome dude. If God's word is saying you look good, right? I mean, just think of somebody like me. This is probably where they're trying to parallel, so you just give a visual here. You guys are blessed today that you have a visual like this. But it says that he was handsome. It says that he was tall. The Bible says that he was strong. And when they were looking for a king to be over their nation, they did a poll, they did a census throughout the people, and everybody said Saul. This was a man who was chosen by the people. You're talking, why in the world would this guy be insecure? He had every reason to be confident. On the other side of the coin, David had every reason to be insecure and not be confident. Because you look at the Bible, talks about his stature. He was scrawny, he was short, he was weak, he was rejected by his own family members. Listen, when Samuel went to Jesse's house because God told him to choose the next king, because God told Samuel the next king will be one of Jesse's sons, Jesse didn't even bring his son David out, he brought out the other son. And scripture says that Jesse, when asked by Samuel, is there anybody else? Because I'm not getting a check from God on the sons you're bringing me. Do you have any other sons, right? What did Jesse say? Jesse said, well, I do have one more. And there's a paraphrase translation in the Bible that says Jesse's response about David was, I do have one more, but he's worthless. Wow. If that's the view your entire family has of you, how was this man so confident in spite of all around him that was trying to make him insecure? In studying the life of David, hear me, not much is shown of his childhood years before Goliath, but from what we can see and what most theologians seem to agree on is that David, as a kid, prayed a lot in the back deserts of those sheep's pens. That David spent a lot of time with God. In fact, through that you see that any confidence he had in his life was as a direct result of the confidence he placed in his God. Just look at the dialogue he gave Goliath when Goliath began to taunt David's size and abilities. You come at me, right? Goliath's like, my spear is bigger than you, right? And David's like, you can come at me with your spear. You can come at me with your sword. But I'm not coming to you by any ability of my own, grown by my own nature and potential. I come at you in the name, underneath the umbrella and the authority of the Lord, the God of Israel. He's the one who I've got in my corner. So if I'm coming after you, look out, big giant. He's coming after you too. Hear me. The only way you will destroy insecurity is by placing your confidence in Christ. David knew that his confidence was going to come from anything of his own nature, but from the one who made him. I made you to be awesome. I made you to do awesome things. Trust me. When you put your confidence in Christ, destroyed insecurities will take place in your life. Let me say it this way. My confidence in Christ destroys the insecurities in me. My confidence in Christ destroys the insecurities in me. Here's what I mean. What's the next slide show there? That's it. Watch this. And can we all just say this together as a matter of fact? My confidence in Christ destroys the insecurities in me. One more time. My confidence in Christ destroys the insecurities in me. Here's what I mean. You see, when I begin to believe what this says about me more than what others say about me, insecurity will have a slippery grip and will have a heck of a time trying to hold on to me. You see, when I believe what he says about me, as opposed to what the failures in my past are trying to say about me, when I believe what he says about me, more than even the failures in my present say about me, it is there that I will find confidence in every step I take toward the future of my life. The problem is we don't place our identities, who we are, in this. We instead place our identities in things that can be taken away from us. More than a husband, I am a child of God. Why? Because my wife can be taken away from me. More than a parent, and I've got three kids, I'm a child of God. Why? Because my children can be taken away from me. More than a pastor, hear me, and I think I'm a pretty stinking good one. I'm just kidding. Don't say nothing. You're feeding my insecurities right now. You're feeding my insecurities. Rebuke me, amen, it's all right. More than a pastor, I'm a child of God. Why? Because my church can be taken away from me. You see, when I place my identity in things that can be taken away, when those things are taken away, I will find myself spinning out of control, not knowing who I am anymore. Not knowing why I'm on this earth anymore. Not seeing not one ounce of purpose to my life or the existence of it. Hear me. Your identity must be placed in His Word, because regardless of what happens to me, regardless of what happens around me, hear me, there is one thing that cannot be taken from me, and it is this right here. It is what He says that I am. Allow me to quote the great prophet Eminem, "I am whatever you say I am." How many know what I'm talking about? And if I wasn't, and I won't keep going because I'm about to spit right now in a great, great way. We have to get there. I am whatever you say I am. Not what you say I am. Not what you say I am. Not what they say I am. I am what He says I am. When I put my identity in this, this is eternal. Well, somebody might say in this room, well, I don't believe that book. Let me tell you something. For any document to exist that was written over a 1,600-year period of time by 40 different authors that I believe in 13 different time periods and cultures, for any document to exist in that type of vein, yet all circumstances proclaiming, all authors, all words, all books, all chapters, all verses proclaiming the same message, that we are not here by accident, that there's a creator to this life, and there is a path that we as humanity detoured off of and found ourselves tangled up in our own sin and mess, not knowing who we are, not knowing where we are or how to get out. But God, I'm talking from Genesis 3 all the way through, God sent His Son to die, raise again for us, and untangle us from that mess and take us to be with Him, His sons and His daughters, for eternity and life thereafter. Hear me. This is a miracle that I hold in my hand. 1,600 years. They all say the same message. 40 different authors. 66 books. 13 different time periods and cultures inside of different circumstances. And they have tried throughout history to ban it. They've tried throughout history. Emperors like Nero have tried to burn them. They've tried to bury it. But it keeps somehow popping up. More of them. from when there were before they tried to burn it. More of them somehow afterwards keep popping up from when they tried to ban it. More of them keep popping up from when they tried to bury them. More of them keep popping up. How is that possible? I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. On the contrary, my word will remain. Why? Because God always wants you to know who you are and whose you are. This is your identity. Follow it. You can't take it away. I went and did this at the, I was in the prison just a week ago yesterday. I apologize, I'm stepping out of the light right now for everybody watching online, but I got to get in the midst of the people here today. We sat, Tim and I went to Vandalia with a couple of people, and they let more people into the chapel than they ever have before. Hundreds and hundreds of women just experiencing the freedom of God. And I tried to preach just a little bit about what it is I'm talking here today. Your identity is not in your past. Your identity is in God's word. And this right here, this is just, I saw this from some dude named Ben Malcolmson. He's assistant to the head coach of the Seahawks. And he created this for the football team organization. And he said, this is our identity in Jesus. And this is some of what the Bible says that you are and who you are. Like, did you know that Jeremiah 31:3 says that you are beloved of God? That he loves you so very much. That 1 John 3:1 says that you're a child of God. That Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17 says that he delights in you. That 1 Peter 2:24 says that you are forgiven. Somebody in the room needs to hear that this morning, that you are forgiven. Isaiah 1:18 says that you have been washed clean. Galatians 5:1 says that you are free. How many are thankful that God's word says that you are free? Come on, somebody in this room. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 says that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't need a building for the Holy Spirit to be in or around you. He is in you because you are the temple. Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says that you have been adopted into God's family. Anybody been adopted? Anybody know somebody that's adopted, or maybe you're adopted? I heard a family that was talking about these two siblings. One was a natural born child in the family. The other was an adopted child into the family. And the natural born and the adopted, they were arguing one day. And one of the natural born kids said to the adopted kid, "You're adopted. I take precedence over you. You see, I was born into this family." And you know what the adopted kid's comeback was? Your parents were stuck with you. They chose me. They chose me. So I take precedence. I love that right there. Romans 8:17 says that you are a co-heir with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that you are righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that you are new. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says that you are a saint. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are set apart for a bigger purpose than what the world says that you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20 says you're an ambassador of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that you are a co-laborer. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says that you are a sweet aroma. Listen, I don't care what you feel like you smell like now, especially me, but when Jesus smells you, I smell good to him. Amen. Deuteronomy 31:8 says that you are never alone. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are a masterpiece. Psalm 139:14 says that you have been wonderfully made. 2 Corinthians 3:12 says that you are bold. Psalm 18:35 says that you have guaranteed victory. Jeremiah 29:11 says you hold a secured future, and Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says that you are whole in Christ. Come on, how many are thankful for just some of the things, just some of what he says about you? When you place your confidence in this, it does something. So quit saying negative things about you. Quit it. Stop it. Because you don't realize how powerful your words really are. You see, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says that we were made in the image and likeness of God. Let me ask you this. How did God create the world? He spoke it into existence. He did not one ounce with his hands when it comes to the creation of the world. And if you're made in his image and likeness, that means that your words have the ability to create as well. That's why somebody can say something to you and create anger in you. So what do you think you're doing when you say negative things about yourself? When you look in a mirror and call yourself ugly, not good enough, unworthy? What do you think you're doing? You are sealing around your life the very atmosphere that you're living in. All due to by what you say. So quit it. Start looking in the mirror and calling yourself what God's word says that you are. Y'all don't understand. Man, when I went there, I mean, I'm not saying this is easy to do. It's easy to feel like doing this. But man, if I live my life based on my feelings, I ain't going to get nowhere. I got to live my life on my faith, not my feelings, not my flesh. So there are days I just want to look in a mirror and I want to say what's wrong and what's not working all day and just start slamming myself. But I just got to look in the mirror, grip the edges of that sink there and just say, good morning, beautiful. Right? Like I don't even have hair, but it's there in faith. Amen. Just look at you. Right? Look at you, child of God. Look at you, the one who's going to make it today. Look at you, the one who is more than a conqueror. I mean, I would think a conqueror would be good enough, but it says that I'm more. Look at you, more than a conqueror. And Missy would be in the room. Hey, who are you talking to in there? Don't worry about it. I'm just talking to myself right now. Right? Sometimes you just got to say who you are. And when you create with those words, watch the type of day that you will have. Can we go back to this our digital whiteboard here just for a second? Think about this just for a second. What if we were living on this side of the board? What if you lived on this side of the board right here? Think about that just for a second. Did you hear me? I asked, what if you were living on this side of the board? Meaning, every day, you disciplined yourself to believe this. Every day, you disciplined yourself to believe this. And the reason I say that is many of us will believe this today. And then we will go and allow Monday to hijack our ability to believe this for the rest of the week. Many of us will believe this today, but we'll have a hard time believing it tomorrow. Now hear me. Again, I'm not saying this is easy to live out, and a believer should never have a struggle with insecurity in their life. But recognize your insecurity for what it is. Something that will paralyze your ability to head to the dream, to head to the purpose God created you to live for on this earth. Plus, it just smells. It stinks. It's hard to be around. And when you stink, what do? Take a shower. Right? Let me ask you a question. Does one shower cover you for the entire week? Javen, don't raise your hand. Does one shower cover you for the entire week? Then why do we think one Sunday morning covers us for our entire week? Why do we think that we can only go to this on Sunday? I'm not here to slam anybody that says this, so please don't think that I'm slamming you, because I hear this from many, many people and have heard this hundreds of times over the course of my almost 20 years serving in ministry full time. But stop saying, I go to Journey Church to get filled up. Stop. Because you can get filled up every single day. You absolutely can. I'm not saying there's a special amount of encouragement that is found in the atmosphere of community gathering, because there is. There's power to the community of faith. But hear me, your fill-ups are going to be found in your time spent with Jesus, more than your time spent with me. Because he's the great I am. And you need to believe what he says that you are. And when you spend time with him, the relational influence of your time with him will spill off onto your character and start to give you confidence in him. You see, this is an everyday thing. Wash yourself in the water of the word of the living God and what it has to say for your life. Ephesians 5:26 says this, that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Watch this. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. This is a shower that you can take every single day. When I find myself starting to stink, y'all know what I mean? Starting to get a little bummed out, start not believing that I'm good enough, stress starts taking over, start getting jealous, start finding myself controlling, start closing off. Oof. I go to his word and I get clean. Hear me, go to his word and get clean. What if all of Journey Church was living on the confidence side of the board? Think about that. What if all of us were doing that? How many know, with me saying that, insecurity is robbing the church in America of the impact we are to have in this world? Because we're so busy struggling with who we are that we can't help somebody else find out who they are. So let's find out who we are so that you can help others find who they are. Can I hear a good amen? Journey Church. Amen. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. We're going to close today's service with communion. There is no better song that fits than what you're playing right now, brother. We don't even plan this stuff. Just singing, I'm a child of God. No longer a slave to anything else. I'm who he says that I am. And as we close, this is going to be the experience here today. And if we got leaders over here, if I don't see anybody over here, I'll come over here. But as we make our way forward to dismiss the service from the back to the front and come and take communion here today, when you head back to your seats, before you take communion, do these things. Before you even take the elements, 1 Corinthians says, let a person examine themselves first. So comb over yourself. Why does it say examine yourself? Because you don't want to take communion. It's a holy moment without checking yourself. Because if you've got negativity in yourself, if you've got all that stuff on the insecurity side of the board, right, just kind of get that out. Because the Bible says if you don't take communion with the right spirit and heart, it says you're drinking judgment upon yourself. So listen. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's very important we understand that. And then after you've done that, God, clean me out. I rebuke stress and insecurities from having a place in my life. I rebuke doubt. I rebuke worry. I rebuke it. Just say that right there to yourself. And then take communion in a place of honor and remember the finished work of the cross. And know that what you're doing when you partake is, man, he says that you are proclaiming the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes again. Let's leave here today determined to live in confidence over insecurity. And know we're awesome simply because God is awesome. Right? Now we've got these. Anybody wants one of these? We've got them for you at the door on your way out. And just say this, man. Say it regularly. I say it regularly. If not, you're killing me, Smalls. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. Know who you are in Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for our identity. I thank you for who we are. I thank you for whose we are. And Lord, as we remember you today, God, let us remember who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're dismissed. We invite you for prayer at the corners of these altars. For anybody that needs prayer, maybe you want to make a decision for Jesus today. We'll be right here to make that decision with you as well. God bless you. Can't wait to see you next Sunday. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.